Morning, everybody. Good to see you today. We're in week three on our interactive time here on being the body. And as we do that, we're looking at, in the New Testament, the one another statements, because they sort of show us, sometimes prescribe to us, because they are imperatives, exactly what life in the body should be like. Okay, how should we be dealing with one another, interacting with one another, treating one another? And, you know, if people don't see God's people doing this, what do they see? They're supposed to see Jesus in us. We're supposed to reflect the glory of God. We talked about that as we went through the last series we did at 11 o'clock, talking about how our heart, the importance of our heart and our heart being in line with God's. If we're going to let people see the reflection of God's glory in us, these are the things that Jesus said we ought to be doing. And we started out with love one another in week one. Last week, can you remember what we talked about? Anybody remember? It always comes down to, you know, even sometimes, unfortunately, preachers don't remember. But in this case, I do. Okay, so we talked about peace and harmony last week. Okay. And then, that there are one another's. It says, be at peace with one another. It says, be in harmony with one another. If we're going to do that, last week we talked about what that meant. Today we're going to talk kind of about the hard work for that to happen. What is it that has to happen for peace and harmony and love to be expressed? The hard work, we don't always think about. There is a price for peace and harmony. It's not just something that's easy to do, because every one of us is flawed. Every one of us is imperfect. Now, Jesus has come to live in our hearts. He's changed us. He's transformed us. But unfortunately, all our bad habits don't just go poof and go out of the, go somewhere else. Sometimes we have to cooperate with God in this process of developing. And we're all in this process of becoming more like Jesus. And we're all at different places. So when we talk about being the body and we talk about the one another's, we come to the discussion today where we need to land, where we talk about how do we deal with the imperfections of other people? Because it's a part of how we deal with one another. It's a part of what Jesus and what Paul talked about in the New Testament, among the other writers in the New Testament. So we're going to launch first today, start out with one of the simple ones, okay? So in Romans 15:7, Paul was talking to the Romans, very theological treatise. He comes to the end and he starts to do this individual application, these imperatives of how we ought to treat one another. And he said simply, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So what does it mean to accept one another? Now, for those of you who are new, this is kind of interactive, okay? And there's not like necessarily a right answer all the time. But here we go. We're having the conversation. What does it mean to accept one another? Okay. Heidi, yes. I'm going to drill down. I want more. Yes, Heidi. It could have to do with the things that we that are controllable. It can also have to do with the things that aren't. So, some of us from the South just have a hard time with accepting people who happen to be from New York. Okay. We don't like their attitudes. We don't like the shortness that they express sometimes. But then again, some people from New York don't like the way we draw out all our words. We have to find a way to accept those things that are different about each other, whether we like them or not. Those are the things that we can't control. I can't control where you were born or where I was born. I can't control that I'm 5'3" and you might be 6'2". And to think that I can't accept someone because they're different from me is something that is not in Scripture. We're supposed to accept one another no matter what those boundaries or barriers might be. But then there's also the other part of this, that is the things that people can actually choose, and we still have to accept them. And if we, what happens if we don't? What happens if we don't accept one another just as Christ accepted us? Yeah, that's the quick answer, isn't it? And all these things that we've kind of already described as a foundation, as we talked about love one another, you know, here, you know, that love is taking a very clear expression of we have to accept. And the hard thing that's in this is that we have to accept the fact that we are all flawed. But my flaws are not as bad as their flaws. They're more flawed than me. We start to believe that, though. It's kind of like believing your own press clippings, you know. After a while, you start reading all the good stuff about yourself. And it really what it is, it's the stuff you've rehearsed in your head. I really am the one who has the corner on the market on what's right, good, or just, or perfect, or godly, even. We believe that. And we believe that we fit that mold. And the problem is, even that proves how flawed we are. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. How did Jesus accept you? How are you? Well, that too, though. But yeah. It's a challenge to accept people just because of their differences from you. And then when you start to accept, choose to accept people, because it's a choice, choose to accept people who not only are they different from you, but have different imperfections from you, that's the price of peace and harmony. Because if we don't accept people, even in those situations, then what we're going to find is there's not going to be a whole lot of peace nor harmony around. Now, I know that some of us, you know, some of us learned that lesson in the pressure cooker we call our family. But then we also learn it in the family of God. It's a bigger expression of that. It's great that we get to process and grow up in that environment once we're in Christ, because those are people who are supposed to love and accept us and care for us in the process while we are maturing and growing up to be more like Jesus. It's a safe place. So we talked a little bit too about what it doesn't mean to accept one another, and that sometimes is important to clarify too. You know, Heidi, you said something about accepting one another doesn't mean, and how did you put that again? The whole idea of staying in relationship with one another and maintaining relationship, man, there is no alternative. Because if we withdraw from other people just because their flaws are not like our flaws, or because they're different from us in some way that we don't like, we are removing ourselves from the very environment that God wants us to be in to learn and grow and develop how to love one another the way He loved us. You'll hear at 11 o'clock if you're around today, I didn't see myself as being a very loving or loved person whenever I was before Jesus. Okay? And to think that that changed me, His acceptance of me changed me. And then, who am I to withhold what I've received from other people? Can't do that. So let's look at the next one another that has to do with this. We're looking at Mark 9:42 through 50. I'm going to focus on just, did I do that wrong? I may have done that wrong. Hey, oh well. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. The passage says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. So, while I may be errant in my reference, and forgive me, I somehow didn't go back and check that. We can practice accepting one another. How is this a corollary to accepting one another? If you pass judgment on other people, can you be accepting them at the same time? For whatever reason, we might be passing judgment on them. In fact, it's saying, what do we do when we do pass judgment on them? Because either they're more flawed than I am, or because they're different from me. What am I doing whenever I do that? Which I'm not reflecting the glory of God. I'm providing a picture that is not accurate of who Jesus is and what he's done in my life, if he's done it in my life. Why does passing judgment then keep, why does passing judgment on others keep us from accepting them? Yeah, they're not supposed to be broken or flawed, are they?
No.
They're supposed to be perfect. Well, we think that. We convince ourselves of that. Yes, we do. So accepting, and you know, this, if we're going to accept people and we don't judge them, what does that mean we do with their flaws? Well, I'm going to tell you a little thing about me. I really struggle with people who are arrogant. I mean, people who are arrogant just get all over me. And I really struggle not being judgmental whenever I encounter somebody who is arrogant. And, you know, you just wait. You know this in your heart of hearts. You just wait till God lets you encounter somebody that comes across what you really struggle with, judging. And it has happened, and it will happen again in your life. Okay. It's always object lesson time when those things happen. Because here's another opportunity for you to grow to be more like Jesus. Because in that moment, in that time, you have to really say, oh, you got to develop the ability to say, Lord, I need help. Because I really want to just tell them what's for. Or I really want to do something that exposes their arrogance. But you know, that's not my job. It's hard because that's what I want to do. And I can even pray that. I can pray, Lord, reveal their arrogance. Reveal, you know, show it to them. Show it to other people. Do not let it continue because it does not reflect who you are. I can pray those things. I'm not asking for God to thump them on the head. I'm asking for him to be a loving father, to give them something that can show them how pernicious that can be. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to judge them. But I still struggle with it. You get there? Are there people, there are things, behaviors, and attitudes that you struggle with that you don't seem to want to tolerate? Certainly don't want to accept. Stop passing judgment on one another. Please, Paul. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Yes. Okay. No, I got you. Okay. Part of it has to do with context. Okay. The first part, the context is in the body. When we're talking about people who have said, I am in Christ and I'm on the journey. Okay. We're not to judge those brothers and sisters. Okay. They may have flaws and imperfection, but there's kind of a different playing field. The people from outside, Jesus said he himself was going to be a stumbling stone for all those people out there who are religious bigots. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I agree. And another part of this conversation that we do need to understand is a part of this is as we accept people, we don't pass judgment on people. We don't say, oh, it doesn't matter that you do this. You know, if the Bible says this is something that's serious, that's important, and that we're supposed to share, we're supposed to say, hey, look, I love you, and I see you doing this, and I see it killing you. You might not see it killing you, but I see, you know, but it's hurting you, and I need to share that with you. Because, you know, we do that because we have a relationship. I've earned the right. And that's why in the body, we're supposed to know and love each other well enough that I can say, I know you well enough. You know that I care about you. I have earned the right to say, look, this scares me for you. This troubles me for you. You know, I see this. This is, you know, what's going on? Because it just, you know, we're the ones who are supposed to be able to share that in love with one another because we have a relationship with one another, which is, forgive me, new issue, which is why this whole thing is more than showing up on Sunday morning. Because I can't have a relationship with anybody if I see them for 2 hours a week that really goes to any depth. Does this make sense to you? The church was about sharing life. The body of Christ is about sharing life, having relationships, knowing what's going on with each other. Now, obviously, you can't do that with everybody in the congregation, but you certainly can't use that as an excuse for not doing it with anybody in the congregation. For us, that's why we do life groups. That's why we do small groups during the week. We meet. We have that body life where we know each other. Okay, meet with several other families in homes in the area where I live. Praise God, they are very different from me. They're younger. They have kids. You know, the scary thing is I'm 59. And so the Westfields kids are as close as I have to grandkids right now. And so you see JoJo walk, yeah, John. Okay. We're good. Okay. You see Josiah, you know, whenever he sees me at church, he runs up and hugs me. It's because he's as close as I've got to a grandkid. And it doesn't matter what JoJo's parents do or what JoJo's school is or anything else about JoJo that might make him different from me. It don't matter. He is. He's awesome. He is a ray of sunshine. You look at him, he's smiling all the time. He's great. Okay? But his brother and sister are cool too. Okay? Love Phoenix. Love David. Man, they're unique. Okay, y'all are just, there's stuff about David y'all just barely know, little David. That kid can learn music like that. I never knew that until about a year ago. Watches YouTube videos and learns how to, I mean, just remarkable. Phoenix is a great volleyball player. We've got the chance to watch her once or twice. I hope to soon get a chance because we share life with each other. We've known David and Priscilla ever since they were a young couple, and we were meeting at Jacob G. Smith Elementary School, even before then. We got this LP relationship, for those of you who don't understand vinyl, that's long play, okay? And that is how you are able to do what Paul's talking about. You love people, and sometimes you have to say, hey, I see this in your life. But that's not, I'm not accepting. I am accepting with flaw, but I'm sharing. We're all in this process to become more like Jesus. And so if you see me being a grump butt because I'm being grumpy or something, and that's one of my challenges is I'm a task-oriented person. And so if you try to get in, you talk to me in the middle of one of my tasks, just talk to my wife. If I'm working on something on the computer, what? Huh? What'd you say? Because I am doing all I can to absorb myself in the task that's in front of me on the screen. It doesn't mean it's right. And she'll remind me, you don't have to bite my head off. You're right, I don't. I shouldn't. I'm sorry. You're right. She's my iron sharpening my iron. So yes, Paul, that is definitely a part of this too. To say that we accept one another doesn't mean that we don't hold each other accountable. But the relationship is very, very important. Extremely important. Very true. Very true. All right, let's go to the next passage. James chapter 4, verse 11. There, James writes, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them. So slander, saying things about people, is connected to this idea of judgment that we just talked about. And it's not an acceptable thing. It is not accepting one another when we take that route. Okay? Now, you have seen this, you have heard about this in your lifetime. Most of you here have bad church stories. Stories about churches that things were not healthy, were not good. I have pastored the Hadfields and the McCoys. Okay? This side of the church, this side of the church. The very fact that there was a building that was built where it was all about the struggle between the two factions. And whenever I left, the struggle was still going on between the two factions. You slander, you judge, you cause chaos, you reap what you sow. That's not what the body life is supposed to be like. So, why do you think slander is tossed in with judgment? Why do people say things about other people? Spite, or because they think they are better, which is judgment, right? My stuff doesn't stink, but theirs does. Okay? That's what it's about. Okay? Next passage, John. Later in James chapter 5. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. So slander has got a cousin. It's called grumbling. Okay? You all remember the story, and if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you look at how Paul described what happened in the wilderness, what did happen in the wilderness? The Israelites grumbled. I don't like this manna. I'm tired of this manna. I'm tired of these birds. I don't care if they fly towards us and we didn't have anything to do with it and all we got to do is catch them. Grumbling. Grumbling kept them from getting into the promised land. Grumbling is another cousin to judgment. And it leads to judgment. Because why do we grumble? Why do we grumble against other people? True. We have to give people a chance. We have to get to know their hearts and know their hearts. Well, and sadly, sometimes we're trying to convince ourselves that we are better. Yeah. We grumble for that very reason. Either we're trying to do the self-convincing, or we are trying to establish for some reason for somebody else that we should know. We know better. We are better. We're smarter. We're, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's saying, yeah, I saw whenever you took the test, I saw the score. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it's because there's envy involved. People grumble because they're envious of the other person, and so they grumble against them, thinking in some way that it'll either make them feel better or others, you know, see them as being more in some way equivalent to. I mean, you know, we convince ourselves of a lot of crazy things. We do things that don't please God, don't represent the Jesus that's supposed to be living in us. So we've talked about these kind of corollary passages that relate to accepting one another. Then we get to where Paul and Jay have made a statement. And that is that they brought up the word humble, okay, which is a good place to be. So in Ephesians 4:2, which is Paul's letter to Ephesus, believers there, he said, be completely humble and gentle. Boy, wouldn't I love to do that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to be completely humble and gentle? That'd be a lot of the battle, wouldn't it? If we could be completely humble and gentle, then we're supposed to be patient. And the thing that I want to focus on here is that statement of bearing with one another in love. Why do we need to bear with one another? People are different. We have emotions. Okay. You know, whenever iron sharpens iron, what happens? What'd you say, Lynn? It clashes. What does that clash come in the shape of? Literally. Okay. There's friction and sparks, right? Sparks fly. Okay. So we've got to bear with one another. We have to remember that we're all in process. And that when the sparks fly, that the one thing we remember is the big picture. We're all in process. I can't expect somebody who has not had my experiences, who has not gone through the rough spots that I have, to necessarily see things or accept or be in the same place that I am. They maybe haven't had that lesson yet. God's going to give it to them if they'll submit themselves to the process. They'll get there. Maybe this interaction where sparks are flying is the opportunity for that to begin in their lives. What I'm responsible for is accepting, loving, holding accountable, doing those things, and because we're supposed to be confessing our weaknesses and sins to one another because we're priests towards one another, like it says at the end of James. So the connection between humility and patience and bearing with one another is important, and we are bearing imperfections. We're bearing differences. We're bearing the fact that we are not alike. And the funny thing is, what did Paul say about that in Romans 12? What did he say about that in the first letter to the Corinthians? Why does he talk about all those body parts not being alike? Because we're all needed, but we're not the same. And that can cause friction. And it should. But there's a purpose in it. There's a divine purpose in it. We just need to make sure that we are going to bear with one another and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Go to Colossians 3:13. And Paul says something very similar. He says, bear with each other. And then he adds the coup de grace. Forgive one another. You see, whenever we have imperfections, we have to choose to forgive one another. Whenever there's sin and there's flaws, somebody hurts us, we have to make sure that when we're accepting them, we're not saying that sin's not sin, but what we are saying is that we have to choose then if we are going to be in peace, be in harmony with one another, we have to choose to forgive the way Christ chose to forgive us. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Yes. Yeah. Semantically, we are all called to make judgments about what is godly and not godly. And we're not to accept that in our lives any more than we are anybody else. It's just we're more responsible for the things that are in our life than we are for the things that are in other people's life. But it's not that we're not responsible. It's just our responsibility is different. What we are not to do is we are not to have a judgmental attitude or express to others that in some way they are in any way less than us or that they are more imperfect than we are. Absolutely. Correct. Well, yeah, true. Very true. Very true. So all of this that we're talking about, again, we're starting from the foundation of love one another. And then we get to forgive. Forgiveness is the hard price that it takes to be in the body and to love one another, to forgive the way that we were forgiven. John, next, go to the next slide. We're pretty new. So later in Ephesians and again in that same chapter in 4, it says here, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, again, just as in Christ God forgave you. So again, the same thing, it's repeated again. Okay, kind and compassionate towards one another. Grace and mercy is the sea that we are all swimming in. And we need to remember that. Okay. Any closing thoughts that you have? So we're talking about the hard work that it takes to maintain peace and harmony and express love is the accepting of other people and forgiving when we need to, which is anytime anytime we feel like we've been crossed. Yes, we are.
Exactly.
That's the big theological word for becoming more like Jesus. That's true. Very true. Exactly. Same process, different roads. Absolutely. All right. Okay, let's pray. Russell, why don't you close us, please?